scores! Gilmore scores! The ball, three left!
Off the glass, it left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by all Aguilla. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
All right, let's get at it. Happy Wednesday. It is Wednesday, September 25th, and Flames Talk this hour is underway. Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson, and we've got a fun hour, I think. I think we got a good hour ahead. I like, this was about 97% Wes's idea, and then 3% mine, or maybe even 2% mine, and then 1% me riding Wes's coattails. Regardless, this next hour, mostly Wes's idea.
How do you like that
for a little credit on this one?
I mean, I'm curious where the 2% comes from, but
I had to take it.
You did write it down on the script.
Right?
Yeah.
I had to do some crafting.
So that was good, yeah.
Yeah, well done. A little bit of credit.
Yeah, well done.
Hope
Let's
you're
have
doing
some
well.
Fun, hey?
Apple, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts. Hopefully your week's going along nicely. So here's our idea. Well, here's Wes's idea. You know what? Here's our idea.
It's our idea. We're a family here.
As I told Wes today, we are all about collaboration. That's what I said earlier today. Flames are 3-0-0 in the preseason. If you go and look at the NHL's preseason stats, for instance, the Flames are the number one team in the 2024 preseason. Okay.
Seems good.
We all know that that essentially means nothing, especially results, that they don't matter. That's the one thing I'll say is that I can tell you what, if the Flames were 0-3, we'd be saying the same thing. The results don't matter. The only time that you can fully say the process is what matters is during the preseason, and that is true. However, what I will say is that having a good preseason is never a bad thing. How good a thing it is, that's a different story, but it's never a bad thing. But they're off to a 3-0 start. There's been all kinds of positive and exciting individual stories from the goaltenders to some young defensemen and some young forwards and some guys fighting for opportunities. All of that has been positive. So in that vein, thought maybe, why don't we do some all too early or way too early hot takes on the Calgary Flames this season. We've seen them play 9 periods of hockey. Why not a little way too early hot takes? That's kind of what we're thinking, and I think we've got some good ones. I haven't seen Wes's hot takes. He hasn't seen my hot takes. I'm curious where we go with this, and we want to get your hot takes as well. Again, 3 games into the preseason with the Flames to play a 4th game on Wednesday night in Abbotsford against the Canucks. What are your all-too-early hot takes? Get those in. We'll read and react to them a little bit later on this hour as well. Want to make it an interactive segment as well at 960. So now, presenting our way-too-early Calgary Flames hot takes on this September 25th, 2024. You ready to rock?
Let's do it.
You want to go first? You want me to kick it off?
You hit lead off.
Okay, well, just because this the gentleman that I'm going to kick it off with has been the biggest hot-button topic in this city since he was acquired in the summer of 2022. Hot take number one, based on one game, based on, albeit a good game, but based on one game. Hot take number one, with new line mates Anthony Mantha and Martin Pospisil, those two will be the key to finally unlocking Jonathan Huberdeau in a Calgary Flames jersey. And those two, by unlocking Jonathan Huberdeau, will help number 10 get back to being a point per game or higher player in the NHL.
I was just going to ask you that part. So unlocked means 82 points or more.
Let's say 80
okay.
plus.
All right. I like it.
Which would be a 25-point hop on his highest total as a member of the Flames,
yeah,
and a 28-point hop on what he had last year.
Not an insignificant gain.
No, it would be a big year-over-year gain.
Tell me what you like so much about the potential there with Marty Pospisil and Anthony Mantha.
It goes back to it goes back to what people that I have a lot of faith and trust in are saying. So when you kept on saying throughout the summer, I really want to see Martin Pot, even going back to last year, as it was pretty clear the Flames weren't going to make the playoffs and trades were made, so on and so forth. You were like, I really want to see Martin Pospisil at center. You'd talk to him a lot. He likes to play the position. Throughout the summer, when we talk about, where might this center ice position go? Connor Zary, or do they go and acquire somebody? You kept on saying, don't forget about Martin Pospisil. And I was always like, yeah, okay, but I like him better on the wing. But when Ryan Huska first dropped in Penticton that he was thinking about putting Pospisil between Huberdeau and Mantha, and when he just gave a really impassioned reason why he and the organization believe that Pospisil at center is the way to go, and then two nights later, having Craig Conroy sit down with us in Penticton, the general manager, and really even delve deeper into why they feel Pospisil with Huberdeau is such an intriguing fit, I can't sit here and tell you that I wasn't intrigued, because I was. All of a sudden, you hear Craig Conroy comparing Pospisil to the way Sam Bennett played in the 21-22 season when Huberdeau had 115 points with Anthony Duclair. And now you think about Mantha, who's a pure shooter, right?
It is a fascinating comparison.
It really is, and I had never thought of it. Until Craig said that, I was like, holy crap, that actually makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, the wheels in my head start turning. In reality, do I know that this is going to be the way it goes? No, I have no idea if it's going to work that way. But why the hell not? There's hot take number one.
That is
pure shooter.
A way too early hot take.
It sure is.
I can wrap my head around.
You got a pure shooter in Mantha.
Yeah.
You've got a guy who does play with speed and who does drive the middle in Anthony Mantha. Sorry, in Martin Pospisil. And you've got a guy like Jonathan Huberdeau who needs that driving center iceman and who is so electric when he's got good rush players with him. Let's see how it goes.
I just want to follow up on this, and this is way too early to be discussing as well, but that's sort of what we're doing here. How do you see Huberdeau factoring in, like if you assume 80 points, or not assume, if you're throwing out a scalding hot take of 80 points, what do you think this Flames power play looks like?
Much better. I mean, maybe more similar to what we saw in the final quarter of last season. It was Vickers who threw out the numbers last week. In the final quarter of last season, the Flames had the fifth best power play in the NHL. And a big part of that, I think there were a few reasons for that. I think the biggest reason was Andre Kuzmenko and what he brought to it. You know, Kuzmenko finally feeling comfortable in a Flames jersey,
yeah,
and being used in the best way that he can be used, and that is in a power play role. That, I think, was the leading contributor, but Mackenzie Weegar getting comfortable as the number one power play quarterback. Nazem Kadri's continued good work, all that type of stuff. Well, all of a sudden, if you're talking about a more dynamic Huberdeau there as well, yeah, I think it could mean good things for the Flames power play.
I like it. I like it. All right. You know, I didn't think my first bait.
Can I read this text before
we
go any further?
Do.
It's sad when you start planning the end of a rebuild because the Flames are 3-0 in the preseason. Please, texter, please dial in on the thing that we said at the beginning. Way too early hot takes.
Yes.
We know it's way too early. That's the fun of it. Please have fun. It's a Wednesday. It's beautiful outside. We're having a great late summer or very nice fall. Please play along. To you, hot take, way too early, hot take, number one from Wes.
Yeah, you know, I scribbled down a version of this one, and then after you really, you know, brought the heat early on, I didn't think it was hot enough, so I spiced it up a little. So here's my way too early hot take, again, based on 60 minutes of action against a squad of guys I've never heard of. Way too early.
Yep.
Texter, please note.
Way too early, grumpy texter.
Connor Zary will finish top three in team scoring.
I like that.
I do not see any
I think it's funny. I think I had him when somebody asked me, what my top three were going to be. I think I had him fourth.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you would have had him behind Kadri, Sharon Govich?
Yep.
Huberto.
Think so. I think those were the three. I just remember Zeri was, because somebody asked me my top three, and Zeri was just outside.
I mean, if you're waffling now on whether Huberto cracked it,
I was going back to projecting
some numbers.
So I guess it would be Huberto, Kadri, Sharon.
You heard it here first.
Yep.
Jonathan Huberto puts up 84 points this season and finishes third in team scoring.
Woo!
It doesn't get
spicy. They're going on a heater, friends.
We might as well quit these hot takes. We've topped out. I just don't see any sort of sophomore slump coming from Connor's area, and that's not just based on the fact that he had two goals and an assist. Really should have had a hat trick in Monday's, I guess, home half of the split squads against the Oilers. I just see a guy who has sort of taken the best pieces of last season, but also taken the lessons that helped him get to the NHL in the first place. And by that, I mean, like, this attitude that he has to earn his spot, even though every single person in Calgary knows he's going to be on the opening night roster. And not just the fact he's saying he is approaching it like he's not guaranteed a spot, but that's what I keep seeing in practice. It's what I saw in the game the other night. I just think the way he's skating, the natural abilities that he has, and the confidence that he will have gained from last season, which, you know, he was clipping along really well until he started to taper off a little bit at the end. I see him as a top three scorer for this Flames team.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I'm kind of with you when you say I don't see a sophomore slump coming. And there's a few reasons for that. Connor Zeri is not, like, you don't get a real cock in his walk type vibe from him, but he is a very confident young man. Like, I just think there's a quiet confidence in the way that he carries himself. Always has been, going back to when he was drafted. And that quiet confidence has shown through. Like, I think that quiet confidence played into his offseason, played into how hard he trained this summer. And I think he comes in confidently, eyes wide open to what this season is going to be like. So he knows, everybody's told him that year two is even more difficult. And I think guys have been very upfront with him that people are going to know who you are this year and you're not catching anybody by surprise. And I think he's taken all of that to heart while still not losing his confidence in the type of player he is. So everything, and until we see it on the ice, we won't know for sure. But everything that I been able to garner from him, I'm with you. I don't get the sense that he's in for a significant letdown year number two with the way he's played in the preseason and the way he's carrying himself here early in the preseason.
You know, you talk about that confidence. I had a conversation with him earlier today, actually, just sort of looking back on last fall. And I got thinking about it when we had that chat yesterday with Ray Edwards. And if you missed that, some really good stuff with the director of player development. But we talked a lot about those meetings where guys get sent down, whether it's junior, minors, whatever. And so I asked Connor this morning, like, how vocal were you last year? Because it became kind of legendary that when you got sent down to the minors, you essentially told the staff, like, you guys are getting this wrong. Like, I shouldn't be going to the minors.
Yeah.
And he didn't tell me sort of exactly what his message was, but he essentially said, you know, when I left that room, I knew I had to put my money where my mouth was. Like, I had to back it up because I didn't really sugarcoat how I was feeling in that moment. And that to me speaks to the confidence that he had even before he had 34 points on his NHL resume. And so I think we're going to see some really, really good things. And, you know, if we're talking way too early hot takes, yeah, the rebuild is not over. It's not. Connor Zeri is going to be a big part of it.
Let's go through some more because the text line is lighting up. There's lots of them coming in, and keep them coming because the second half of this hour we'll dive in on your way too early hot takes and react to those because why not? It's fun. It's that's what it's supposed to be. Everybody's equal. Everybody's even until the regular season begins. Here comes hot take number two from me. in a good way, the Flames will be forced to rotate three goaltenders in the NHL this year because there will be very little separation between Devin Cooley, Dustin Wolf, and Dan Vladar, and they'll feel like they'll be forced to rotate through three, which means there may be some Dustin Wolf assignments to the American League. Not necessarily for him to go down and play there, but maybe to bide some time, or maybe he does have to play one or two games in the minors just to make sure everybody's getting their playing time. Hot take number two from me, three goalie rotation, which means, and I'm probably, if Sigalette's listening, he's probably ready to drive over here and body slam me through a table. But yeah, three goalie rotation because the goalies make it so difficult on him.
Promise me though, promise me, not three on the roster.
Once in a while, sometimes.
Like, not three on the ice for practice.
It might have to happen a few times here and there. Try to limit that as much as you can.
Are you concerned that Devin Cooley won't get through waivers?
I am. I do think when we had Kevin Woodley on last week, he did a really nice job of kind of, I don't want to say completely erasing the worry, but just the idea of like, hey, there's lots of goalies that go down and there has to be a team. The thing about claiming anybody on waivers is that then you have to have that guy in your NHL roster. So if Devin Cooley is claimed, that team either has to carry three goalies or they have an injury that they're needing to fill. And so you can usually time things pretty well. And as a team, like Craig Conroy and company, will have a pretty good idea of when a guy's going to clear. And you do your due diligence and you do enough talking and calling around the league, you've got a pretty good idea that you can be in the 90th percentile of being sure that your guy's going to clear. You also know when there's a pretty good chance somebody's going to get claimed. And if there's that big glut of waiver assignments right before the start of the regular season, maybe the Flames don't put Cooley in on that one. Like, maybe they have to start the year with three. Wait a little bit, like 3 or 4 days even, Wes. Wait a little bit. Let the goalie injuries get filled by that way. The Flames don't have cap worries. Other teams do.
Yeah.
So they have the ability to maybe be a little more patient and a little more strategic.
Here's two things I think about the Devin Cooley waiver situation. One, while I do understand there's a risk of losing him, I don't think an organization can make its decisions based on the third goalie on their depth chart, which means that if it's going to cause a little bit of commotion to have three goalies at a practice with the NHL team, if it's going to cause any sort of, I don't want to say issue, but if it's going to essentially come at the expense of Dustin Wolf going back to the minors for the umpteenth time, like, I don't think you can make decisions. I don't think you can go to Dustin Wolf and say, we got to send you down. We're too worried about losing Devin Cooley. And the other thing I'll say is in all my conversations about Devin Cooley with those who know goaltending, it's sort of twofold. It's, yeah, you know, the Flames are excited or were excited or the Flames should be excited depending on who you're talking to.
Yep.
But a big part of the excitement internally at the Saddle Dome is being able to kind of work with him, right? There's a lot of excitement about where they think Devin Cooley can take his game with the ideas they have for him. I just don't think it benefits him to be hanging around as a third goalie or sitting as a backup too often. Just so you said, oh yeah, well, we had to not lose him. Like, if you think he has the potential that you believe he has, go work on the things you need him to work on.
What's hot take number two from Wes? Way too early hot take.
We'll maybe do
like some less way too early hot takes right before the start of the regular season, but that's still more than 2 weeks away.
Way too early hot take number two. This will not be surprising for those who have read what I wrote today for Post Media. Because I wrote about a guy who I believe has turned a lot of heads. I know has turned a lot of heads in his first professional training camp. Sam Morton will play NHL games this season. I'm becoming so confident in that, I don't even think it's a hot take, to be honest.
That's a pretty lukewarm take, honestly.
I think he has, in a couple short weeks, basically bumped Cole Schwint from his status as the Flames' next center up. And I, you know, if I'm Kevin Rooney, I'd be looking over my shoulder a little bit. Now, I still think he's a long shot or a dark horse to start the season on the opening night roster, although I expect him to be one of those guys who's going to be hanging around a long time. And I think that the Flames found really nice value with this college free agent signing, and I just continue to believe more and more that it's really only a short matter of time before we see him playing NHL games.
Yep. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back or steal your thunder. I was thinking that going into or in and around that Young Stars Classic, just for a guy to, and part of it is because at the time he was 24 years old. I mean, again, and you asked Ryan Huska about this on Wednesday morning. Sam Morton's the rare 6-year college guy, 2 years at Union, 4 years at Minnesota State. COVID messed up everybody's eligibility, so extended the amount of time Sam was able to eligibly play in the NCAA. 2 years at Union, 4 years to finish at Minnesota State. After he finished as a 24-year-old, jumped into American League hockey with like a day of buffer.
Yeah.
And was immediately thrust into an offensive role. Like Trent Cole was using him in a top six scoring role immediately, and he didn't miss a beat.
Yeah.
And that is so rare going from college to the American League. And it wasn't like he did it in the early season. He did it at the most high leverage time when the Wranglers were fighting for their playoff lives. So that got me already feeling like there's something different about this college free agent signing. And then he was, in the two games he played at Young Stars, he was best player for the Flames, yeah, best forward at least. And so I'm with you. I really do think that he'll play NHL games this year, and it might have to be in a number four center role. But I see a potential anyway of him profiling as an NHL number three center. And I don't think they're the exact same player, but they kind of profile similarly in size and trajectory. I see a little Derek Ryan in Sam Morton. I think Morton's got maybe a little more offensive upside than Ryan does, at least when it comes to his shot.
Yeah.
Maybe Ryan's defensive game a little bit higher end than Morton's might be, but I just see them with very similar trajectories. And if the Flames could get a guy like that for a number of years, sure, without having to spend a draft pick, that's a big time win.
I hear people say, oh, well, Sam Morton's 25, so he doesn't count as a prospect. And I just think that what we've seen in the last couple of weeks are that the 25-year-old parts of Sam Morton, the maturity, the attention to detail, the stuff that you get from a player who has been through a lot more, both life experiences and game experiences. Like I think you see that there's a real even keel to him, both off the ice and I feel like on the ice, he's a guy, you know, as Ryan Huska put it today, he didn't show up wide eyed. He showed up to earn a job on the team. And I got to tell you, this guy has, I think, impressed everybody so far.
Yep. Okay. Let's do one more each. Then we'll hit the text line.
Okay.
Do you want one on defense or do you want another forward one?
You hit me with your defense.
Okay. Much like we've seen in the past, here comes all too early hot take number three. Much like we've seen in the past, Hunter Brustevich will start the season in the American Hockey League. But at some point in November or December, he'll be recalled and he won't look back.
November or December?
January. Sometime this season.
Hey, are you going hot or are you?
Hey, look, I've already gone.
Are you cooling it down?
I've already said they're going to rotate three goalies at the NHL level and Huberto's going to get 80 plus points because of his line mates. I think I can go a little, I think I can turn the burner down to 7 or 8 here. Jeez. Some point this season.
Yeah.
So, okay, how about this? Some point in the first half of this season,
okay,
Brustevich will get recalled. Somebody will get hurt. He'll step in and he won't look back, and he will remain an NHLer for the rest of his career.
I love it. I mean, he has been as, I was going to say as big a revelation, and I'm not sure that's the fair way to put it, because he arrived with a high profile, but he's further along in comparison to where I maybe thought he was. He is further along than any other Flames prospect. Like I'm not putting this very well. He's the biggest difference between what I expected to see and what I'm actually seeing. And by that, I mean that he's a long ways further ahead than I thought he was at this stage in his career. He defends way better than he gets credit for. Like, hey, are there going to be some lumps at the NHL level with his defensive play? Yeah, on nights there's going to be, but you can, and I don't mean to throw, you know, throw shade at an 18-year-old. Like, you can see why Zane Parekh needs to go back to junior to work on the defensive details of his game. You can see why the Flames look and say, oh my God, we have so much, poise and offensive upside in this young prospect, but there's a second part that we really need him to focus on. And for that reason, junior is going to be the best place for him to be in the immediate future. Like, Hunter Brustevich, obviously, for starters, is a year ahead of Zane Parekh, but his defensive game is a lot closer to being ready for pro hockey. I think that's perfectly fair.
Yeah. What's your last one? some guy chirping me that it wasn't a hot enough take. I already gave you two red hot takes.
This one, I don't think this one's hot. At least it wouldn't have been hot a day ago, and then we had Frank Saravalli on, and he said that he thinks Tyson Barrie is basically guaranteed to wind up with the Flames. So my way too early hot take is they don't need him. I don't think that, and I say that less based on Tyson Barrie and more based on what we've seen from the other defensemen in camp. I think the young guys have made it clear that they don't necessarily need Tyson Barrie. They don't need another veteran taking up a role on the NHL blue line. I think there's kids, Hunter Brustevich being certainly one of them, Daniil Miromanov as a guy who is ready to show he should be in a prime time role, regardless of who else is on the roster. Like, I see the pieces there that make me think that Tyson Barrie leaves Calgary without a contract.
I could see, like, and I was right there with Frank as well when he said that, and I understand it. I mean, you don't bring in a player of Barrie's caliber and with that type of resume without there being a good chance they're going to sign him. I get that, but I just see a lot of depth here already, and how much do you want to logjam at that position? I think Barrie could absolutely help this team. I was talking about this on, it was either Sunday or Monday's postgame, and it sounds disparaging to Barrie, but it's not. Not at all. I think Barrie could absolutely help this team. I think he could help them on their number two power play unit. I think he can help them with depth. He's a great guy in the room. He's a leader. All that type of stuff. I think, yes, he could help any team that he'd be on. That being said, is that enough to potentially block the way for one or two other guys, whether it's Braden Pahal, whether it's Hunter Brustevich, or another name that we're not even, Ilya Solovyov?
Mm-hmm.
You already have Jared Tenorti in a very similar vein. I know one's a left shot, one's a right shot, but how difficult do you want to make it for somebody to maybe get that opportunity to play regular NHL minutes? So that, I understand why you're saying that, and yet I know how glowingly Ryan Huska and Cale MacLean and others have talked about Tyson Barrie to this point, so it wouldn't surprise me if he does get that contract.
Yeah, no, and it wouldn't surprise me at all. I think you can look around the room and say, before we sign another veteran, what have we seen out of this young guy, or how many similar pieces do we have that slot in this type of role? And I just, listen, if Frank thinks it's a guarantee he's going to get a contract, and I don't know that that's exactly how he phrased it, but, you know, we have Frank on as our insider for a reason. He's very much in the know. I don't know that there's necessarily a fit there.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was fun.
Way too early hot takes.
We got some good ones coming in.
We had like the amount like on my tab on my browser. I'm like, whoa, that's how many texts have come in? Good. I like it. Text lines open at 960-960. Your way too early hot takes in just minutes. Flames Talks on Apple, Spotify, Amazon. It's Pat and Wes wherever you get your podcasts.
One of those three benchmarks. Be 40 goals.
Yeah.
For me. But I love how scalding hot it is.
This says Connor Zeri leads the team in points by the end of the season. That's from Sean. That's even hotter than Wes's top three in scoring.
I am not personally ready to unseat Nazem Kadri there.
Okay. This reads, Huberto's back. He literally can't get any worse. He has zero pressure on him. I love this opportunity for Hubie. And that's also part of why I think it's a little more likely that maybe this does turn into a better year for Huberto. For the first time, the spotlight really isn't that intense on him. He's had two lackluster seasons in a row. The expectations on the team are lower, and the expectations on him are probably the lowest they've ever been in his NHL career. And as much as guys do block out the noise and try to block out the noise, it's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the noise is less overpowering, you can maybe have a little more success. I hope he's a guy that I really do root for. He's just a quality dude and a good teammate, and he always faces the music. So I hope that maybe he has to do a little less music facing this year.
Do you, not to be the, now that I'm thinking about Bob Hartley, not to be the porcupine at the balloon party, but do you worry that your hot take being what it is, the resurgence of Jonathan Huberto, like then are you talking contract with Anthony Mantha?
See where they are. See how Mantha is. And see what type of offers you're getting for Mantha.
Okay.
Because maybe it's Pospisil who's the biggest key.
Fair.
Cooley gets more NHL starts in a Flames jersey than Vladar.
This season.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Hey, all of a sudden a trade pops up for Vladar. You're confident with a Wolf and Cooley tandem. Well, that could very well be the case.
They did not find a lot when they shopped Vladar previously, but I think Dan Vladar with a repaired hip in the last year of his contract, as a guy who has some experience, you know, if we're talking about an injury that pops up or something like that, I don't think it's crazy at all.
Dustin Wolf. Oh, Wes is going to blow his stack. Dustin Wolf starts the year in the American League, and Vladar and Cooley tandem the majority of the season in the NHL.
Too hot.
I knew Wes would like that one. I knew it. There's a nice, this text is talking about how fun this segment is, and he's enjoying it, so that's good.
I like it. Who's that from? No name?
No name on it, but thank you very much.
We appreciate you.
9938, last four digits of the phone number. Way too early hot take. A Flames player will win a major award at season's end. Well, we already had a Selke trophy for Sharon Govich, so there's another major award.
What? Just trying to think. What do you see there?
For a like, I think any given year, Kadri and Backlund have the ability to be Selke Trophy finalists.
Okay.
I think they're that good. The Selke Trophy's still a reputation award. So, like, it's probably going to be Barkov and...
The one thing I will say about Backlund is he's in the reputation part now. He's received votes often enough.
The problem is that if Barkov gets 80 points, he's just going to win it again.
Yeah.
You can base it like...
So if
I would love to see the betting odds on
that. Going to win a major award, you could potentially see those two. I mean, Mackenzie Weegar would have to score 25 to be in the Norris conversation. And I don't think that's a sort of far-fetched aim because of Mackenzie Weegar. Like, just with two or three of the stud defensemen in the NHL, it's hard to get in that. It's going to be hard to get Norris votes, but he'd have to have a heck of a season to do that. But he'd be a guy you could have on your Flames major award radar, I suppose. I'm trying to think.
Okay, how about this one? Here's a Jerry. My way too early hot take. Daniil Miramanov in the running for the Norris. And Brustevich not only makes the team, but is in the running for the Calder. Over-optimistic Jerry from Vancouver Island.
I don't know how hot it is in Vancouver Island today, but Jerry,
scorching.
Jerry needs to turn up the AC. I love it.
Tiemann in Calgary. My hot take is this team isn't as bad as people makes it seem. The top nine is solid.
I go back to something that Ryan Huska said after the game in Calgary on Monday night, and he was asked a question that either referred to or alluded to the Flames being a young team, and he kind of stopped everyone and said, "Hey, everybody, like we're not that young. We have a lot of veteran pieces here." And so I think that's the reason for those who believe what the last texter said, that this team is going to be better than they get credit for, then, you know, is going to outplay the predictions, if that's the right way to put it. You know, like there's a bunch of established pieces here.
Yep. Grant in Hawkwood, hot take. Craig Conroy gets a higher GM rating than Brad Treliving, is voted by the Hockey Writers Association and the Toronto fan base. Okay. What else we got here at 960 for hot takes? Hot take from Mike. Flames will be much better than everyone's saying this season, possibly in the playoff picture. That's from Mike in Calgary. This says Dustin Wolf wins Calder Trophy, Vezina Trophy, and Hart Trophy. Woof. That's a hot one.
That's warm.
Coronado scores 30 plus. I think we're going to talk about Coronado in hour two. I do think that he's a guy that once he is established in the NHL, I think 20 to 30 is the type of goal scorer he can be in this league. On a yearly basis, like annually, somewhere between 20 and 30. I think that's very fair.
Yeah. Yeah. I like you're talking about sort of the consistent contribution you got from a guy like Tyler Toffoli throughout his NHL career.
Yeah.
Like mark him down for 20.
This says, I love it, boys. Just don't pull a Francis and say, I told you so. We won't. I promise.
I'm going to tell him you said that though. And then I'm going to laugh at him.
Oh, I'd say that. I would read that text right to Francis.
Yeah, I think we will.
Francesco, way too early and maybe hot take. There won't be an open roster spot for Jacob Pelche on the Flames roster until March.
Okay, so let's follow up on this one.
Yeah.
Your hot take. Jacob Pelche on a Tuesday morning goes on waivers. Is he going to the Wranglers on Wednesday?
No, I think he'd get claimed.
Yeah, me too. And I think that's just the risk.
I think if anything but if there were 30 other teams that passed on him, I don't think Montreal would. There's been enough smoke there of Montreal being interested. I just think that they would claim him regardless.
San Jose is another one for me that has high waiver priority, needs players, and
like, why wouldn't they?
And
right?
Has seen a lot of them at the AHL level. Like, you have to remember, the Wranglers play the Barracuda 10 to 12 times a year, some years, or eight, or whatever that number ends up being. But that was this Francesco's?
Francesca, yep.
Francesca, sorry. That to me, because I don't think the first part of this is far-fetched, that there might not be an obvious spot for Jacob Pelche at the end of training camp. I just don't know if you're willing to take the next step, which is to then send him to the minors. For risk of
losing him.
Losing him.
Dylan and Revy, my hot take is Huberto won't step up 5-on-5, but Kuzmenko and Sharon Govich will help him on the power play enough to get him to 70 to 75 points. I also think Mantha will be a healthy scratch in at least 25 games before the trade deadline. Dylan.
Yeah, not getting very good value for Mantha at the trade deadline if he's been healthy that many times. But I've said this, and we've talked about it in the context of finding those opportunities for youngsters. Anthony Mantha will tell you himself that consistency is what has held him back in his career, or is probably a better way to put it, has been the knock against him throughout his career. He knows that, and it's been accurate. Like I've watched him play, as Ryan Huska said the other day. Like, you watch him sometimes, and it's like, oh my goodness, this is the like old school power forward, score two goals, might beat the pulp out of somebody.
In the middle of a hallway in Detroit.
Yeah. But, 25 times.
I gotta ask him about that day one day. Him and Hamonic in the hallway in that brawl night in Detroit.
That was...
Is it Luke Witkowski? Was that the guy that...
Luke Witkowski was...
right in the middle of it. So was, of course, 19.
With Tkachuk, yeah. Yeah, that was
were you there?
I was, yeah, I was.
Yeah. Sam and Lethbridge, Matt Coronato will score more goals than Anthony Mantha this season.
I see that.
This Sharon Govich scores the most points in a season by any Flames player in the post-Iginla era, 43 or more goals. Some of these are just, possible. Can't do that.
A couple guys got into the 40s.
Yeah, Johnny...
Yeah.
Rest in peace. And Matthew each. Did all three of them hit 40? Lindholm did.
Yeah.
Johnny did.
Matthew
did Matthew
must
hit
have.
40? Yeah, I think he did.
Have. Yeah, he had 100 and some points. Yeah.
Yeah. This one from Cody. My hot takes. Hubie rebound year incoming with Pospisil and Mantha. Point per game plus. Look at that early chemistry with Mantha. That's not very original, Cody. I already said that. Just copying my take. Just kidding. Goaltending, I think it's going to be Vladar and Wolf. I do like Cooley, but wonder if he'll be ready for the NHL as a backup. I guess we'll keep watching him in the preseason. I also think Barry earns a contract. He looked great the other night, and I feel like we've been missing that on the back end on the power play. Lastly, I think the Flames are going to do a lot better this year than a lot are saying. What else we got here as our hot take? Sorry if I don't get to yours. There's a lot of them still. I still have like 40 that we haven't read. Did not I expected some engagement, not this much. Zeri scores 40. That's from Dylan in Langdon. What else we got here? You want hot? Wolf, it doesn't win it, but is in the Vezina conversation after January.
Woohoo! Sorry, I should have howled, I suppose.
Ooh. Rick in Lakeview, great to hear you guys back doing what you do so well. This take is hardly influenced by a mere 3 preseason games. These revised, hungry, under-pressure Flames will make the playoffs and at least show well in the first round. Go, revamp, go. It's from Rick in Lakeview.
Okay.
That's our first one that says they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Lots of they're going to be better than we thought.
Yeah, okay. I like Rick's enthusiasm.
Here's from Dave in Innisfail. Matt Coronato not only makes the team, but also leads the team in goals at the end of the season.
That is either a really good year for Matt Coronato or a little
year for
less
others
than we anticipated from Sharon Govich and a couple others.
This says Connie will acquire 4 more first-round picks over the next 2 years at this deadline. Ooh, that'd be some tidy work. Goodness.
You were sending some names out of town in that case.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, how about this? Way too early hot take. Rasmus Anderson will sign an extension worth more than his market value.
That'd be the way to keep him.
That would be the way to keep him.
You know what? I've said this before. Everyone knows I'm a huge Rasmus Anderson fan. I don't try to hide that. I think he's exactly the kind of guy you want leading through a rebuild.
Hit as many as the of these as we can. Before
can we fit in two more?
Two more from you?
Two more hot takes? No, I want to put the producers on the spot. Let's hear it. Hear a hot take.
Cam, come on. Yes,
come on.
I don't want Shan. Cam, do you got one, or do you need a little time for both of you?
I'll let Shan go if he's got it.
I'm gonna need a minute too.
Okay, I'll read a few more. Give me a little. I'll give you a little bit of time. Raise your hands when you're ready. Kevin in Calgary, Jim Gregory Award for Craig Conroy.
Okay. General Manager of the Year for those who might not have an instant recognition.
Gio and Airdrie. Flames finished the season less than 5 points out of the last wild card, mostly due to defense and goaltending.
That, the goaltending, not to leave defense out of this, but goaltending is the great sort of wild card in this whole season, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
The difference between being more competitive than some people think or being closer to the bottom of the standings, which other people are projecting, like goaltending is very much going to have a massive influence on which way that goes.
Mick says, my hot take, Hunter Brustevich goes to the minors where he belongs and gets a few games at the end of the season with the Flames. It's not the most fun hot take ever, Mick. This says, the goalies see a lot of the injury bug this season, and we see Valtteri Ignatiev make his NHL debut with the Flames.
Okay.
That'd be pretty neat.
Never like to predict injuries,
yeah.
But I'm fascinated by Ignatiev. I'll tell you that much.
Lee says, Weegar goes higher numbers this season and becomes more of a leader than he already is. I like that. Matt and Blackfalds, 5 Flames in the 30 goal club, and one of them isn't on the opening night roster.
Ooh,
okay.
When's the last time they had 5 30 goal scorers?
The 90s?
At best.
Sheldon on Glenmore, hot take, Flames not only make the playoffs, but get to the second round and take whomever that is to 7.
Ooh, would that not be the least likely Battle of Alberta playoff series? Like talk about a year, nobody would see that coming, except Sheldon, apparently.
Flames sneak into the playoffs, and Huska wins the Jack Adams. Craig and Cochran.
We got to talk more about this at another point. I love some of the buttons that Ryan Huska has pushed in this training camp.
I do, too. Here's a last one from Craig and Cochran. I'm sorry if we haven't been able to hit yours. We started with the very first ones and worked our way up. But Craig and Cochran gives us a good, a nice segue to Shannon Cam. Hot take, Steinberg hits leg day at the gym. It's from Craig and Cochran.
Okay.
That is a hot day. Hot
Shannon
take.
Cam are going to have trouble topping that one, boys.
That's a tough.
Okay, Cam. Okay. Just kidding. It's funny. Okay,
what do you got for us?
Shan was ready. He put his hand up first, so Cam, you get a little bit more time.
I'm ready.
Okay, go, Shan.
My hot take, Calgary Flames have a top 10 power play in the league this year.
Okay, ooh, I like that.
That's warm.
Spicy. Cam?
One of Kuzmenko or Mantha plays so well that they play themselves out of a trade.
Into a contract extension?
Into a contract.
All right.
You boys brought it.
That is good. Well done.
Well done.
I always knew they had it in them. Not even surprised one bit.
You know what? I always knew you had leg day in you, buddy.
Well, that's a lie.
Yeah, that's true. We better go to break. I couldn't say that with a straight face.
I mean, my leg day is spin class. Otherwise, no chance I'm doing leg day. Are you kidding? You know your limitations at this age.
I'm not here to throw stones at anyone's glass house.
That was fun, friends. Great stuff on the text line. Way to bring it at 960-960. You're all too early. Way too early hot takes. We'll do some more hot takes maybe in a couple weeks' time. 2 weeks' time, we'll be on the eve of the regular season. That'd be a good day to revisit some hot takes.
I think. Yeah. I like that.
It'll be less way too early.
But still way too early.
Still way too early, but less
not
way too
quite
early.
As early, but yeah.
That'll wrap up this hour. Thanks to Shan. Thanks to Cam. Best producers in the business with some hot takes of their own. Well done, boys. This hour of Flames Talk's been coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.